Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for B. Mitch today. We're going to get into some Commander Stadium talk coming up at 12:30 with Mark Seagraves. We'll get back into hoops with Jimmy Patsos and Chase Hughes coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Last week, though, Commanders minicamp. JP had a chance to catch up with Commanders quarterback coach Tavita Pritchard. Here's that conversation.
Coach, year two, you're all back together. And I think that's a real testament to what you're building. You obviously probably got calls. What made you decide I want to be here?
Yeah, it was really what you mentioned. It's what's being built here. It's what's been built here, you know, to work for a leader like DQ, who he's about people and he's about the collection of people and us and how we do things. It says everything, you know, it says everything about, you know, who we are, the direction we're going. And I think to be a part of that and see that and experience it and take part in it, I think just is everything, especially in a sport and in a profession that's the opposite of that. You know, it's very transient. Like, people move around all the time. And I think to be able to, like, stay in one place and, like you said, be back with a group of people and a group of men that, you know, we kind of know how they tick. You know, I think it's going to be fun to take off from here.
You talked about a collection of people, and it's obvious the whole building is kind of in it together. But for you in the QB room, what's it like to get another year with Jaden?
Yeah, for sure. The QB room, I can't say enough about, like, the way that those guys compete, who Jaden is. You know, but Marcus, Sam, David Blau, Brian Johnson, Cliff Kingsbury, like, for like what we have built in that room specifically too. Again, like, so much of this sport comes down to trust, you know, and being able to communicate openly, honestly, and you know, I think, like, in that room specifically, the way that those guys build each other up, you know, you saw Jaden cheering Marcus on in week 18 at Dallas in the second half. You saw, you know, Marcus go pick Jaden up, you know, in that Atlanta drive when we were going in to score. And I think it really just gives you a glimpse into not just who they are individually, but also who they are to each other, you know. And I think that's a microcosm of the bigger thing that's being built.
I totally agree. What did it mean for you and the room when I was so impressed by Marcus when he did a press conference with us after he re-signed? He's like, I owed it to myself to see what my options were, but I realized this is my best option. Like, what did that mean for you guys to know he was coming back?
Man, I think you said it first, and I think that's the best way to say it, is like, everyone, including myself, Marcus, like, what's being built here, it just feels so right, you know, that, like, people don't want to stop doing it, you know. And I think we're all at points of our career, was Marcus, me, that, like, you've seen different ways of doing thing, and you know, because of that, like, what we're seeing here, what we're experiencing here is, like, it's special. And so I think to be able to be a part of that and experience it is no small thing.
Similar to Marcus, like, you're a young coach in a profession, and you're going to have options. Like, this year, this is the right thing. Do you even stop to wonder what's next, or you just focus, lock in right now?
Yeah, to a large degree, you focus and lock in right now, you know, because you know that at a moment's notice, it can be going the other direction. Sure. You know, and anyone who's been in coaching long enough knows that, you know, and knows that, or just in football long enough, right, knows that you can experience the opposite side of what we did at the end of this year. And so I think as much as anything, it's about being where your feet are, and like, where our feet are right now is a pretty darn cool place, you know, to be here and be with these people.
What is I think it clearly is, like, you hear that echoed to a man when you talk to, yeah, coaches with cameras or without them, honestly. Yeah. How much or how does Jaden grow from last year?
Yeah, it's what's fun for us is, like, we get to zoom in with Jaden. Like, we don't have to worry about the macro and the stats and the results. Like, we get to zoom in on, okay, well, let's talk about your drop. You know, let's talk about, you know, the granular parts of, like, what's going to help you make you better on this particular concept? You know, maybe it's getting your eyes over to that second read a little bit more quickly, which is what's been fun, is because he's also leaning into that process. You know, it's not for him. It's not about the macro either, because it's like the second you start to zoom out in this, that's when it starts to go sideways too. And so it's been fun to just to be back here in this building, in the meeting rooms, on the field, and just get back to work, you know, on what we do.
I mean, that coaching staff is such a collection of workers and really no egos in play. It's pretty remarkable. And when you hear Blau and Cliff and Tavita and Brian Johnson and kind of the room they've created, and then getting to know Mariota, I think, as a fan base, and what just like a mature, understated leader he is. Jaden's Jaden, and that's 90% of the success last year, but they really built that thing out around him to be supportive and to bring out his best.
Yeah, I mean, we hear all the time, coaches will talk about collaboration with their guys, the different stuff, but how often is it actually implemented, or to the extent that you see here where, you know, you truly believe that if David Blau has an idea, which I think there was a play, was it in the playoff game? Either maybe Detroit or one of them, David Blau came up with a play that ends up winning the game. Maybe it was the Philly game. Can't remember. But regardless, there were legit collaboration between all the coaches last year in terms of, hey, this can work. This is how we can help our guys. The players were involved. You know, Jaden's giving feedback to Cliff. And I think that's something that has been glossed over a little bit. I think people have mentioned the importance of retaining a lot of the coaching staff, but I think it's huge where Jaden had an incredible rookie season and he gets to keep his whole coaching staff for year two, where now he can kind of take that next step. Instead of starting at square one with some new guys, he can start a little further down the road and take a bigger step this year. I think that's a huge part of his development. It's going to help kind of cement him as a really good pro, regardless of what happens going forward with his coaching staff.
Yeah, and it's funny talking with Tavita. You know, Tavita's been here a couple years now. He was here before the change. And I don't know how long these guys will be able to keep everybody together. But like a year from now, if you told me Cliff takes a job, head coaching job, Blau's the OC here, I think Cliff would take Brian Johnson and David Rye with him to his staff, wherever that is. And Tavita Pritchard is the head coach at Stanford. Like if I could parlay all those things and throw $10 on it, I would. I those guys all, not to say did the right thing, because I also think they did the right thing for themselves too in keeping this together and seeing how far you can go. But at the same time, like, the calls aren't going to stop. Tavita was getting calls. Blau was getting calls. Cliff was getting calls. Brian Johnson's been a head coaching candidate before. He's been a play caller before. Anthony Lynn on that staff has been a head coach before. I mean, if you, hindsight's 2020, I hated the move at the time, but a lot of people were excited when the Chargers got rid of Lynn to bring in Brandon Staley, who was clearly a disaster. A bunch of people on this Commander staff are going to get more opportunities, and that's a sign of a well-run organization. But it talking to Tavita over the years and seeing his growth as just a person, like, wherever that goes is not going to surprise me.
Yeah, and I got to admit that I was wrong when Dan Quinn was hired. I wasn't necessarily the most thrilled that Dan Quinn was the hire, but the thing that everyone preached about DQ is exactly what we're seeing here, where players love to play for him, coaches want to coach with him, and if there's any doubt about going anywhere else, they're like, screw it, I'll stay where I'm at because I love being with DQ, and you saw it this offseason. We saw it the previous offseason where a bunch of veterans decided to come here to play with Dan Quinn, to play with Jaden Daniels, and I think have a much better year than even they expected when they signed here. But there's a reason Bobby's back. There's a reason Zach Ertz is back. And there's a reason why darn near the entire coaching staff is back. It's a lot of it to do with Dan Quinn. And so regardless of how you felt about him when he was hired, he's lived up to the expectations in terms of the results on the field last year were spectacular. But what you were sold on when you got this guy was he's a leader of men. He's a guy that's has great camaraderie, and everybody loves working and playing for this guy, and that has been so true in the year and a half, whatever it's been since he's been here. It's been that case and more.
I'm with you, man. I think you know, listening to these interviews with these coaches, I think real fans probably take a ton of appreciation from it. Because I think you could just learn so much, dude. And I think that has real value when you're all in on a football team. I enjoy that day, assistant coach day, when the media just gets like full access to the assistants that are there. Timing typically doesn't allow you to talk to everyone, but it is, I don't know. I always enjoy kind of getting to hear it from the fellas up close and personal, if you will. I also, B and I kicked this around a couple weeks ago, Tobe. The conversation around like the sophomore slump, the regression, not only do I not see that happening, I think he'll be better. I think there was a month where Jaden was hurt and playing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that happens again. You can never account for injuries, right? But like, the Tampa game and then the first half of the Giants game, weeks one and half of two, he was still learning the speed of the game. Like, I just think this time last year, Jaden was coming off the crazy pre-draft circuit and then getting a new playbook thrown at him. This time, right now, he had to force himself to take a couple weeks off because that's just not who he is. And he's had nothing but time, playbook, game film from these NFL teams. Sure, the defenses could gear up for him, but he's also gearing up for them.
Yeah, and I think the idea that the sophomore slump, because people are going to have more time to stop him, JP, what are you going to do? You're going to play perfect coverage every time and somehow contain him on every snap? Like, it's not like he was Robert Griffin III or someone that is running, not a gimmick, but something that's new that defenses weren't able to adjust to. JP is a pocket passer who can run as good as any quarterback in the league. I mean, how do you just suddenly defend that?
So the top four quarterbacks in football right now to me have separated themselves to the point that I try not to entertain comparisons with Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes, mm-hmm. right? But if you get to the next tier down, Matt Stafford's an excellent quarterback. Have defenses figured Matt Stafford out? No, because he's just a really good pocket passer. NFL defenses, by and large, for 40 years, have not figured out really good pocket passers.
Yeah.
And like the level of honesty we need in the conversation surrounding Jaden, that's who he is. The other stuff is gravy. Like, you can't play man press on the outsides because when the corner's got his back to him, he's just going to run to the first down marker. Mm-hmm. Like, there is other stuff that is gravy, but the dude is just such a pure passer from the pocket that I think Drake May could take a big step up. I think Caleb Williams, if he plays on time, could take a big step up. I'm really excited to see about Michael Penix. Like, I just don't have questions for Jaden.
No.
I just see him continuing an upward trajectory.
And you look at the most prominent example of the sophomore slump recently was last year with C.J. Stroud,
which
right?
is also like content headline driven. Yes, the picks went up. Like, I get that. But to talk about a sophomore slump to me means like you step significantly backward and your team falls backward.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen in Houston.
Well, and even Stroud with the sophomore slump, they went to the playoffs and won a playoff game, right? But a lot of people look at it as a sophomore slump and look at what the issues were for Stroud. The offensive line last year in Houston was horrible. And their offensive coordinator, who was getting head coaching interviews, was fired.
Right.
Neither one of those things is going to happen here, more than likely, right? The offensive line here is actually much better this year than last year. And Cliff Kingsbury, if he's gone to another team next year, it's not because he got fired as the offensive coordinator.
Right.
It's because he's going to be a head coach somewhere. So to me, that's where it's different. And with a guy like Jaden, you know, I can't have any fault. JP, even if he did have a sophomore slump, I know it's because something else happened, some different factors. Jaden puts in all the work necessary to take steps forward and get better. So whatever happens, happens with him. And I would have a hard time thinking that with the extra work that he does, with how good he got to by the end of the season last year compared to where he was week one, I have a hard time believing that he's somehow going to slump backwards. But even if he did, he's putting in all the necessary work to get better. And so with that, whatever. Like, whatever happens, I'm not worried about Jaden. He's going to be just fine.
I tend to agree with you, man. I think it's, you know, it's funny because I was around a whole bunch of people playing golf all weekend, and the only real, like, concern among Burgundy and Gold fans is the Terry deal. And what I've tried to say is I don't even really think that should be that big of a concern. I think if we get 1 month from today, July 16th, all right, like, there's no deal, there's no whispers of a deal, that then you got concerns. But today, June 16th, I don't think – so training camp is going to start, I believe, the 23rd, right? Wednesday the 23rd, maybe Thursday the 24th. The guys will probably have to report on the 22nd for weigh-ins and everything. That's my rough gut on that. Because, they, I mean, they have their first preseason game the 8th, so that would give them about 2.5 weeks. The way OTAs and minicamp felt, there was a level of – it's weird because you got to balance it. You don't want to overcook anything in June and May. But the level of intensity and competition was so healthy that you really feel like they're just going to hit the ground running in training camp. And, like, it's a difficult schedule. I know all the things, but you feel like they could maybe just be shot out of a cannon this season.
We hope so. You certainly hope so. And my thing is, we haven't heard anything from Terry. Maybe we heard from his agent through various sources, but we haven't heard from Terry. And the only thing we've heard from Adam Peters is that he wants to make Terry a long-term commander, right? Like, that's all we've heard. So I would expect it to get done. I would love for it to be as soon as possible, but I don't think there's any worry until you get to training camp. Once you get to training camp, if there's still no deal, then we can have a more legit conversation. But right now, it's kind of nothing.
Speaking of legit conversations, a lot of information and possibly misinformation going on about RFK Stadium getting rebuilt. Mark Seagraves covers City Hall, is all over this story. Seagraves.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Joins us next. 067 The Fan. Time to get to the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome in our friend, Mr. Mark Seagraves, the baddest man in Washington. Mark, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm good. Happy to be with you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Dude, always appreciate you making time for us. Looking at your Twitter, it looks like you had a busy weekend covering the... covering that Army parade. It seems like that kind of all went off without a hitch, relatively, right?
Yeah, a little bit of rain that made them change the scheduling of the paratroopers and flyovers and stuff. But, yeah, you know, nobody died. Nobody got arrested. Nobody really got hurt. Thousands and thousands of people got to see a pretty cool parade. So, yeah, all things considered.
We'll take that as a win. And what I will personally take as a win is getting all of the fencing and stuff that's impacting my commute downtown out of the way.
Please.
So let's get that all picked up.
Yeah, that's going to be a couple more days. So I'm down here right now, and Constitution is still closed. So you're going to have they said by the 19th they hope to have all of the fencing and barriers down.
All right. Well, that's good news. So, Mark, I wanted to get you on because it appears to me we got some politicians playing politics. What is the latest with the legislation to get RFK Stadium rebuilt?
So it is still in the hands of the D.C. Council, and the issue that arose last week, as you are well aware, and I'm sure most of your listeners are aware of, that the D.C. Council held a secret meeting behind closed doors.
They threw you out of it, right?
I tried to make entry to, and they politely asked me to leave. That's correct. So they had this secret closed-door meeting, which is legal. It's important. It didn't used to be legal, but they just changed the law that allows them to have these secret meetings and not tell anybody about them and talk about public business. In this case, it was RFK. And we know from speaking to some of the council members after that meeting that Chairman Mendelson discussed the possibility of delaying portions of the stadium legislation that are currently in the 2026 budget that will be voted on. The preliminary vote will come July 15th, which also happens to be the deadline that the commander set with the mayor to have the council give preliminary approval to the deal. If that's not done by the 15th, the team has the right to start negotiating with other jurisdictions again. I interviewed a couple of the council members coming out of that meeting, several of them acknowledged that a delay was being discussed. Some of them were in favor of delaying it. Some of them were opposed to delaying it. When I spoke to the chairman, who really holds all the power here at this juncture, he was very cagey about how he answered me. He spoke in, kind of this political speak, saying, well, he wasn't planning on taking the debt service for the $500 million, which is the initial upfront cost that the district needs to approve first. He wasn't going to take the debt service out of the budget. That's good news for Commanders fans and people who want the stadium to go through. But then when I pressed him and said, well, there's a lot of other moving parts in this legislation that are in the budget that has to be approved. Are you thinking of delaying that? And that's where he got started playing with semantics with me and saying, well, I've always said the July 15th deadline is going to be very hard to do, very hard to meet. And so when I pressed him at the end of that interview, if you watch, I said, sir, you're not answering my question. And he said, he smiled and said, that's the best you're going to get out of me. So that started this avalanche of worry. And you had the mayor issue a very strong statement saying what she's always said, it has to be done at once. It has to be done by July 15th. They can't screw around with this. These are my words, not hers, but paraphrasing that they've got to get it done. She said that just 5 minutes ago. I just spoke with her 5 minutes ago. She said the same thing. The time is now. Got to get it done now. The commanders put out what I thought was a very strong statement. It would have been easier. And I got to say, I suspected that the commanders would have come out and thrown Phil Mendelson a bone and said something along the lines, okay, we can extend that deadline for a month or whatever, if you need a few weeks, we can extend the deadline, let Mendelson claim victory and have every, a month that is not going to matter one way or another. But the commanders didn't do that. They doubled down with the mayor. And they put out a list of, here's the things that's at stake that the city is going to lose. The FIFA World Cup, the world-class venue, all these jobs. July 15th is the date. We want to open for 2030. It was a really strong line in the sand that the commanders drew with their statement right after that. That then prompted Mayor Bowser the next day, when she was asked by reporters who were following up after I'd broken the story the day before when I got thrown out of the meeting, the mayor again doubled down and said, look, the team is outraged that the council would be doing this. And that led Phil Mendelson to put out a statement which was typical Mendo speak. And that is him saying that a lot of the statements that you're hearing about him not funding it are untrue. But then at the end of his statement, still again saying, well, July 15th is iffy. But never once saying my reporting was wrong. And so that's where we're at right now. You're absolutely right to describe this as politics and politicians doing what politicians do. And so now we can only wait and see if the council will have to take a public vote if they want to delay any portion of this legislation. If they want to do anything other than, what the mayor wants them to do, if they want to change it, they have to do that in public. They have to vote on that in public.
So they'd have to, they'd have to vote to delay, they would have to stand up there, raise their hand publicly and say, hey, we're going to delay this, and then everybody knows exactly which council members delayed it. They're not going to do that.
That's correct. Right now, we don't have a good, we know, for instance, Brooke Pinto has come out and said uncategorically, no delay, do the whole package on July 15th. You had Zach Parker come out and say the exact opposite. And his, I think, was the most telling statement, because what he went so far as to say is that he is open to delaying it until September or October to vote. And see, this is what why it's so important for these meetings to be open to the public, and why the public should care about these open meeting laws, is because we have no idea what these 12 people talked about behind those closed doors, because we weren't allowed to be there. So we don't know what the chairman proposed for the council to vote on. We know what some of them have said coming out of that meeting. And the most telling, again, is Zach Parker saying he's open to a delay that could be as long as September, October. That becomes a real delay. When you talk about construction costs, construction deadlines, timelines, you know, delaying it a few weeks or a month isn't going to kill anybody. You build those kinds of delays into your plan. Delaying it by 2, 3, 4 months, that's a lot, and a lot can change. Look at tariffs, right? Every day the cost of construction materials goes up and down because of the threat of tariffs. And so the commanders definitely do not want a delay that would go into the fall before, you know, knowing that it's going to be approved. So the next time we'll get a real keen idea of what's going to happen will be this Wednesday. On Wednesday, the council holds its public hearing on what is called the Budget Support Act. And that's where all the nitty-gritty stuff is. And so we'll learn a lot more based on the council members' questions and public statements. They won't take any votes on this day, but it'll be a public hearing, and we'll hear from public witnesses. I don't know if we'll hear from the commanders, and I can tell you the mayor has not been invited to testify. Her chief of staff has, but kind of a thumb in her eye, the chairman has decided not to invite the mayor for the first time ever to testify on her own budget. But Wednesday we'll have a better idea of where the 12 council members stand.
So, Mark, where do you count this right now? Do you feel like there's less of a chance that this gets done now than when we were a couple of weeks ago? Or is this something that, like JP said, it's politics and this is just all part of the process?
So this was expected, right? Chairman Mendelson had been saying to him from day one, the July 15th deadline is unreasonable. And he has a legitimate case there. I have to say that the mayor presented her budget months later than they typically do. And not only did she put her budget in late, but then the budget also includes this $1 billion of tax money going to a $3 or $4 billion project, the biggest project in the history of the city. And typically on something like that, you would want standalone public hearings, and you would want to have enough time to go through this. And so the chairman has a legitimate gripe about that. That said, every one of us at our jobs have some type of deadlines on something, and oftentimes those deadlines are inconvenient and are expedited, and you get it done. And that's what the mayor is and the commanders are asking of the 12 members of the D.C. Council. It's like, we know it's a short timeline, but it is what it is. This is where we are. We need you to get it done. I think at the end of the day, look, this thing was really moving forward at a really fast clip. And it was surprising to all of us that so many council members so quickly were coming out in favor of it, including Chairman Mendelson, who had been against it from day one for years, had said, no, 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 no. And now he's saying, yes, but I just want to make it better. So Mendelson is just looking for a victory, right? He's just looking for something. And if you go back to the baseball stadium, which I often compare this to, this is exactly what happened with the baseball stadium. The Mayor Williams and Major League Baseball made a deal. It went up for a vote. The vote went until midnight. I was in that room at midnight when Linda Kropp, who was the chairman at the time, changed her vote at the last minute and stalled the deal. And then they went back to the drawing table, and Linda Kropp was able to come out a week later and say, hey, I've made it a better deal. And they all voted and approved it, and now we've had that stadium for years, right? And so this was expected and anticipated. The problem is, how long of a delay are they talking about, and can the commanders stomach a delay that might be 3 or 4 months? I think that's a lot to ask of the commanders, given how adamant Josh Harris has been about his timeline. So we know that Chairman Mendelson and the commanders met late last week. We don't know what came of that meeting. But again, we'll learn a lot more. If I were handicapping this, I'd say it's still going to get done. I would not lose hope. I would say this is expected, this kind of thing. It's a bump in the road, but it is not insurmountable. And I don't think it's a deal killer by any stretch.
Well, that's great to hear, honestly. And I just, At some point, is this just like a kind of petty squabble between Mendelsohn and Bowser? They just don't like each other? Because that's what it kind of feels like sometimes.
So it is no secret that Mayor Bowser and Chairman Mendelsohn don't play well in the sandbox. They don't get along on a lot of things. On some things, they very, you know, we're lucky in D.C. in the sense that it's basically a democratic city, a liberal city, and everybody agrees on most things. And so,
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There's not a lot of quibbling over most things, but when you get down into minutiae and budgets and how money is spent, that's where they start to have disagreement. Mendelsohn and Bowser will be up for re-election. Mendelsohn could face some serious opposition this time around. And so, it is unfortunate that they don't have the best of relationships. The chairman has hired Robert Bob, who was a former city administrator under Tony Williams years ago and has enjoyed many, many government contracts since. And now he's been hired by the council to kind of mediate this landscape between the mayor and the chairman and the commanders. And, you know, I expect what you'll see is that Mendelsohn will make some tweaks, particularly around the community benefits package, which was very vague in the original contract. Again, when you look back at the baseball thing, after the no vote by Linda Kropp, they came back and the community benefits package had the youth baseball academy that we still have over in Ward 7 that Vince Gray was able to get out of those negotiations. So that's what I would look for. The commanders are prepared to prop up the community benefits package. I think if they start toying with things of real substance that would cost the commanders money, like one of the things that I've been pointing to from day one are these seat licensing agreements, man. And I got to tell you, your listeners, if they plan on being season ticket holders for the commanders when they come to Washington, D.C., and they find out they're going to have to pay a seat licensing fee that could be anywhere from thousands to tens of thousands of dollars up front just for the privilege of buying your tickets at another cost, that's going to make a lot of people very, very unhappy. And so, but it's a hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that the team is counting on, just like naming rights for the stadium. These are things that the city owns because they own the land and the stadium that they're giving to the commanders. So you start tinkering with those big ticket items, and that could be problematic. But again, you know, if I'm betting on this, I at the end of the day, I think 2030 we're kicking off at RFK Stadium.
Seagraves, you're doing a hell of a job working this story and all things that go on here in D.C. Thank you for the time, bro. Appreciate it,
man.
Hey, I love being on your show. Ask me anytime. It's a thrill to be with you guys.
Thanks, man. That's our guy, Mark Seagraves, NBC4. I mean, serious report. When they're throwing you out of meetings, it's because they know you're good at your job.
Do you ever do that at Commander's Park?
I've been asked to leave some things. Not just bars. One place that never asked me to leave, and in fact, I can open the door whenever I want, my new garage door. Mm. I love that damn thing. It has changed my house. My old garage door was ugly and loud and old. My new one is sleek and quiet. I can open it on my app. I had it open this morning because I was taking trash out, so you know what I just did? I just made sure it's closed on the MyQ app. The app is so dope. It makes it so easy. I can come and go through the garage. And it's so quiet, it doesn't wake the kids up if I have to come in late after a game or something. The folks at Door Pro America do such a terrific job. You should hit them up. Whether you maybe just need a little bit of maintenance, a little bit of repairs on your current garage door, or you're thinking about getting a new one, they do it all. They're based locally. Door Pro America has been proudly serving the DMV for over 50 years. They can handle everything, man. And if you call today, you can save $60 on a repair or $150 on a new garage door. Phone number is 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. Tell them J.P. Finley sent you. Or you check them out now at DoorProAmerica.com. Fall in a step behind. Who is that? Give me options. Better than Ezra? All right. this is tough. Shout out to G Money sending me a compliment that is tough for the old burgundy and gold. I believe this was week one, maybe 2019 for the burgundy and gold. We had a lot of 2019 talk for the burgundy and gold today. If you remember, the Skins came out hot in that game. Case Keenum, a quarterback. Terry McLaurin's first ever NFL touchdown, 70-yard bomb. But the first touchdown was a Vernon Davis deep down the sideline. He hurdled a dude.
That was awesome.
Dude, it was like a 50-yarder, right? So I did not remember this, but shout out to G Money for pointing it out. G Money just tweeted me, LOL, I'll never forget JP Finley NBCS tweeting at halftime of week one during this game when we had like a 17-7 lead, and he said something like, there's a chance this will be the high point for the season. I thought that was bold for week one halftime, but he was right.
Yeah, that's not great.
Damn, dog. not great.
High point of the season comes in week one, first half when you're up and then still lose.
Quick straw poll. Everybody, aquarium, lock in here. I remain confident RFK Stadium's getting built. Left hand up. Toby, where are you?
Left hand up. It's going to get built.
Landfill?
Maybe.
You think they'll actually screw this up?
They've screwed it up before.
When?
30 years ago. They've been trying for 30 years to get this thing done.
Now, all right, now hold on a second. The person that, when this really got screwed up, she changed names. So forgive me if I mix up the names here. Sharon Pratt Dixon Kelly, something like that, I believe, was the mayor. Maybe she got married or divorced. I don't know what happened with the name changing. It was Sharon Pratt Kelly and then Dixon. So I don't know the order. Forgive me. I was a child. Jack A. Cook wanted a new stadium, wanted to stay at RFK, unable to reach a deal with that mayor. And then they moved to Maryland. I'm not putting it on D.C. for the last 30 years. Nobody was going to a podium with Dan Snyder. Nobody wanted to hold the other side of an oversized scissors with Dan Snyder. These people have owned this team not quite 2 years. So I don't think it's fair to say they'll screw it up. Even they got, it took the absolute last possible second, but they got the baseball stadium done. It took the real, very real threat of moving to Virginia, but they got Capital One done. Left hand up. They're going to get this done. Jeffrey, where are you at?
If you think this is not going to get done, put the drugs down. This is for sure. For sure getting done. I told you, JP, I drive past RFK every time I come into work. And they have piece by piece taken that stadium down already. It's going to get done.
The taking it down, I think, was already happening before the building it back was suggested. But,
man, you know how long I heard RFK was getting taken down? Nah, this is like work, JP. Like, they're actually actively doing it. Like, usually I drive past, you'll be like, oh, somebody's doing some work on this time. For the past couple of weeks, every time I've driven past RFK, there is some sort of construction going on.
Jeff, is your left hand up? Is this getting done?
My left hand is all the way extended up.
Well, I'm glad it's just your left hand. White Brian, where you at here, buddy? They getting this thing done?
It'll get done, but like every construction project in a big city, it'll take a while.
Now that, I think, is pretty clear-headed. They can talk about 2030 all they want.
I mean, that is bold, 2030.
I mean,
I got them getting it done.
I wouldn't book Beyonce till 2031. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I got them getting it done.
I'm not talking about money or approvals, but like every construction project ever takes longer and costs more. That's just how it goes. Whether you're redoing a closet in your house, Jeff's coming out of the closet, he wants it redone. Whether you're working on closets or you're building stadiums, everything takes longer. Costs more.
No coming out of the closet over here. I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you were talking about redoing a closet at your home.
He wants to re...
What was that? Yo, for landfill to pull the parking brake up right there? Dude, Mark Seagraves knows this city and mayor and city council inside and out, right? And I don't know. I certainly don't want to speak for Mark, but like, I think the five of us just want a dope stadium. And I, Toby, you're too young to remember RFK, so maybe it doesn't matter to you. But I think certainly people like probably 40 and up are all in on this. And then I think younger fans are in on it because they just want a new stadium because Northwest sucks. But like, I don't know that Seagraves is necessarily excited by this project or excited by the opportunity for the football team to have a new stadium. He's a hardcore investigative reporter that just wants to report the truth. And if Seagraves is saying this is going to get done, if I'm handicapping it, it gets done, my left hand's all the way up. Whatever Jeff's extending is all the way up.
Yeah.
RFK, baby. RFK or bust. Nobody go anywhere. Jimmy Patsos joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.